Our epistle for Sexagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 19 to 33, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourselves. For you suffer if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame as though I had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly, I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offsprings of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice I was scourged, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast about the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the king, the governor, under King Aretas, was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so. But I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up, there was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me." Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. At that time, a very great crowd was gathering together, and men from every town were resorting to Jesus. And he said in a parable, "The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell upon the wayside, and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Another seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another seed fell upon good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, "To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, and that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen, but that upon good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. With a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, when I was in high school, junior in high school, our science teacher put us up to a project. It was basically a full year project. He told us that we were going to have a biodegradable garden. Now, he says it's going to take work. I remember him taking us out there with stakes so that we could stake off the ground. When he showed us the ground, we kind of laughed at him. You'll build a garden here? Look at this. This is horrible. I mean, it looked like just sandy dirt. Not much dirt to it. Then he said, well, after we stake it off, we're going to make what we call compost. Make compost. Okay, whatever. So first we had to gather leaves and grass clippings, and then we started adding weird stuff. I mean, you have your, of course, farm animal waste, eggshells, vegetable cuttings, and our little pit, our compost pit, started to have quite the smell. And we started to use it for things that was not intended to be used for, like compost fights. So we go to this piece of land in order to start working on it. So he gave us all tools. He goes, these are good tools. This is the way you use them. And it's like, well, wouldn't it be easier if we just got a rototiller and just, you know, that's the way we've seen other people. No, we're doing this differently. We're going to do this by hand. We're going to do it carefully. We're going to do it by sections. So he gave us each a section that we had to upturn the dirt, pull out the weeds, take out the rocks. And some of these rocks were huge. And, I mean, we had quite the workout on a few of those days of preparing that. And then came time for us, probably about 2 months into, or 3 months into it, we started to mix the compost into what didn't look like soil but really was soil. And then we left it there for the winter. At the first sign of spring, he brought us back out there. Now, at this point in time, we didn't mind because we were not in the classroom. But he was having us do these things. We had to rework the soil again. And what we did is we dug a trench, rows of trenches about a foot deep. He said, we want to pile the dirt that you take out of there on the other side. And we were pretty amazed at how easy it was to dig because we had already worked it. We weren't running into rocks. We did have to go and make sure that the weeds didn't grow. And then we took the rest of our compost and we laid it within the trenches, filled it with dirt again, watered. And then the day for planting the seed had come. And we thought, oh, that should be pretty easy. Just go throw a bunch of seed on. No, he wouldn't allow us to do that. He said, no, you take these seeds. We're going to mark what we plant here. We're going to mark what we plant here. And take these seeds and carefully place them. And so we did. And we covered up the trenches, watered. And we would come out there, oh, at least the beginning part, at least once a week, just to see and to make sure that weeds didn't grow. And then we started to see life. We were really proud of, like, look at this. And they started, I mean, they're just little plants at the time. And we were pretty proud of ourselves when we saw them start taking off. And then the school year came to an end. So I went home for the summer. And there was unable to be there for harvest time, or at least the first harvest time. But the one thing I wanted to do when I got back to school was take a look at that garden to see what had happened, and I was amazed. I had never seen corn stalks that high. I have never seen plants that big. The things that we were able to pull out of there, we were able to partake, and they tasted great. And the lessons that I learned during that class, well, we're talking about them now. And our Lord talks about this in today's parable. But that upon the good ground, these are they who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. There's a work that we must do. Christ has given us the tools. He has given us the opportunity. He has given us the ability by endowing us with intellect and free will. He offers us his grace. Now it's time for us to do our part. If we are really wanting to be a person with a right and good heart, then we have to prove it. Actions speak louder than words. We have to be willing to take out different things that are obstacles for that seed which he freely gives us. What's the seed? The word of God. Just scripture? No. The word made flesh and everything that he brings with himself. His church, his sacraments, his grace, his way to heaven. And it's worth it. And we don't complain about the obstacles. That's just part of life. We have temptations. We have faults. We have failings. Like St. Paul says, if I'll glory in anything, I'll glory in my infirmity. But let us pay attention to when he was crying to the Lord because of a temptation he had. What did the Lord say to him? My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. We have been given everything we need for success. Now it's up to us. What will our decision be? And will we persevere, have that patience that is needed to let God's grace work in us and through us and help our neighbor when that light shines in us and through us? Instruments of his goodness and his peace. As we approach the coming season of Lent, let us consider this, especially when we are determining what we're going to do for that holy season, what we're going to give up, how we're going to more perfectly embrace our cross, how we're going to more perfectly follow our Lord and Savior, how we're going to deny ourselves, how we're going to become a more perfect disciple of Christ. Listen to the words of our Lord after he says the parable. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it's the disciples who go and ask him, what does this mean? He goes, it's to you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. His disciples. But then what are we? We are disciples. We are called to become disciples. But the choice is ours. If you want to be my disciples, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.